Just be with yourself. Try and shut out distractions around you. Just be with yourself and try and notice when you think about that incident, how you feel physically, what's happening in your body. And jot that down. And then just jot down how you're feeling emotionally. And you might find there's an array of emotions. It may not just be one. But how you're feeling emotionally. And then just notice, what are your thoughts? Can you pick up your thoughts? You might not be able to. Don't force anything, just stay with yourself. What are your thoughts? Are there any images, memories? What's going on in your mind? And then think, if you can, what triggered this situation? What set it all off? Christine talked about triggers. That's such an important thing to begin to recognize. What triggered it? What actually happened that caused this surge of emotion? Or lack of depression, sadness? Okay? Then just lastly, what did you do to calm yourself down? Or what did you feel like doing? Where did you go to feel better? What did you do? Okay, how are you doing? You there? So we've looked at something that caused strong emotion. We've tried to notice what happens physically, emotionally, in our thinking, what triggered it. And what did we do subsequently? You may not all have a neat little package there, but some of us will. Do you feel you can share that with a neighbor? Because what I'd like to do is just find out from people who feel they can talk about that is what actually, what did they do? Was there a habitual reaction? That's what I'm looking for. Is there a place you habitually go to feel better? To calm yourself, to comfort yourself, to deal with difficult feelings? Is this something repetitive? Is it positive? Is it negative? Sometimes we do positive things. We go for a run, or we call a friend, or we read a book, or we listen to music, or we... Now, those can become negative as well when they're carried to extremes. But they can be resilient and resourceful ways of caring for ourselves. So do you feel you can just share very briefly for a moment with somebody, or is that too difficult? Is anybody brave enough to share? Do you want to? You eat. Yeah, that's why I asked Christine, how does it feel to eat? Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it? And again, eating releases endorphins that changes mood. You see, calms us down, especially when we eat. That's often in the very frantic bulimic behavior. It's that, releasing of those sedating feelings. And it comforts, doesn't it? Yep. Burgers. Big, fat American burgers and fries. Come on. Yeah. Go, do.
Anger.
Anger.
And I took it over in my head. Like I had a conversation. It's actually talking to the person.
Yep.
But actually, just makes me feel more comfortable.
Okay. Okay. The perpetrator. So you calm down. So, that's quite a positive process. You have that angry conversation, you get it out there, talk to a friend, you may take it to the perpetrator or the offender, the person who caused the problem. And that would be a good way of dealing with it, provided that was not just an attack. You know, there was a real, you know, speaking the truth in love means that the aim of speaking the truth is to enhance relationship. So where it's possible to resolve differences, we need to do that, because that will enhance and deepen relationship. Sometimes it's not possible. It's going to become an argument. It's going to entrench differences. So who else noticed habitual ways? Did you want to say something, Liz, or am I picking on you? Alcohol. Space. Okay. So they couldn't question the anger that you're actually probably brewing inside. Okay. Yeah. So, again, that can be very positive, but I remember working with somebody where that kind of withdrawal was a passive anger. It was an aggressive thing. And it wasn't really dealing with the issue, it was a way of getting their own back without eliciting repercussions because it looked so innocent. So it can be a negative thing, but it can also be a positive thing, is to withdraw, calm yourself down, think it through, and then go back. Yep. So it can I'm sure there are lots. Now, the heart of this is that I wanted to, it's not coming up. Oh, I touched it. Okay, I won't then. So bad destructive habits are usually unconscious. We're not usually aware we're doing it. And they are repetitive choices of behavior to moderate unpleasant feelings. So, makes sense, doesn't it? And so if we think that that habits can be understood, and through understanding them, we can change them. One of the things Christine mentioned in helping somebody with a self-harming problem is, what is it doing for you? So how is it helping you to moderate bad feelings? And remember this diagram. We would have seen this for those of you who did some of our first training when we were looking at emotions. Traumatic emotions always shoot us up into this top realm where we feel overwhelmed or over aroused. That's where the anxiety kicks in, the anger, the worry, fears, panic. That's that zone. And in that zone, your thinking brain is offline and you're not aware of making choices. Okay, so you're not conscious, you're not in control, your emotions are in control. And a lot of us suffer from what they call patterned emotions, or sort of repetitive procedural emotions. They're just automatically we go to anger, or automatically we go to depression, and it, you know, becomes our default position. And so those are the over-aroused states. The under-aroused, depressed states, dissociative states, where we cut ourselves off, are in the bottom realm here, the shutdown mode. And again, when we get down into shutdown mode, the thinking brain is offline. We're not feeling. We're shutting out feelings. They're too dangerous or difficult. We don't think and we don't choose. And you can see this is where the repetitive behaviours come in. And I've just pulled out that verse from 1 Timothy 1:7, that as when God wants us to work as whole people, where we're able to use powerful feelings to motivate us through godly thinking to make loving choices. And that's the wholeness, if you like, model, if you want to think like that. And I loved what Steve brought this morning. It's not health so much as healing. We're always moving towards this. But if we begin to recognize what feelings trigger those repetitive patterns of behavior, then we can start to get out of that, being in that over-aroused mode, coming into this central zone where we're once again able to think, able to bring into consciousness why we're doing these things and the patterning that happens so automatically. Is this making sense? So let's move on to the next. This is just to remind us we use working with the whole person, their thoughts, their feelings, their physical sensations. Who noticed physical sensations when you thought about, yeah, did that surprise you? Okay, now, did it surprise you to actually notice what those were and to give words to it? Because you see, I think what often happens, those we get those physical sensations and it catapults us into the next step of the habit, if you like, into the reaction, because we've never really recognized what that is. It becomes an automatic trigger, as we said before. Is that true or not? Yeah. So once we bringing thinking, and I'll briefly be able to touch on a little process model that I've put together for us. As soon as we start bringing, remember Christine said, you get the trigger and the urge, and then you get choices at that point. Now, at that point of urge, if you can bring your thinking brain online and think about what you're doing, that's when you can start to break it. Yeah. But if you notice what's happening physically, that can often be a first step. Yeah. 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 That's exactly how habits work. You know, the trigger comes, we react. So this is my little model of that. You know, before we know it, we've pulled the trigger. We've reacted because we haven't got that thinking space in between. Common triggers, they may be internal. Oh, this is where I need to do this one. They may be internal. They may have come from historic events. Trauma that's unprocessed that sets us off. Who noticed that? Yeah? Got a few nods. So internal, they may come from ungodly thinking, lies about ourselves, mental strongholds, negative expectations. They may come from bad memories and trauma. They may come from strong feelings within us and stress. And they may come from boredom. We sometimes don't recognize what a trigger boredom can be, having space of time that we've got nothing necessarily to do. Who noticed that? Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? Often we resort to bad habits because boredom puts us into this bottom realm, this depressed realm, and we want something to arouse us. And I think that's quite often when we go to the pornography sites. We want that sense of arousal. So, and then there can be triggers, can be external. They can come from times of great change. They can come because of people and social situations that are triggering. They can come from isolation and loneliness, particular places, vulnerable times, dates, anniversaries. These can all trigger. So who noticed external triggers? Can you say what that was, Lizzie? Yeah. So feeling misunderstood can then drive us to those beliefs about ourselves that we're not good enough, or, you know, we're inferior to them, or we're not lovable, or we're not working well enough, etc. It can drive us to negative beliefs about ourselves. And then the feelings of rejection or fear of rejection or pain can hit on old memories. You know, social people and social situations. Who noticed times and anniversaries? You know, when the anniversary of a miscarriage, of somebody's death, of, you know, these can be vulnerable times annually for people, and you'll pick that up when you work with bereaved people. Okay, so there are common triggers. So I'm just going to look at this very, very quickly with you. The addiction cycle, we can think of addictions or habits as habitual cycles, repetitive cycles that begin with bad feelings, triggers of some sort that drive us to something that will anesthetize and change our mood state, which is outside of the love of God. You see, we're not going to God. We're going to our habit. We're going to the thing we've always used. But that has that will bring temporary pain relief and numbing or change of feelings. But the fallout is what? What do we experience when we keep getting tripped up by those habits that, yeah, guilt, yeah, shame, anger, and it deepens the pain. And one of the things we need to help people do is to break in on this cycle at some point. Break in on the pain. See, if we can find the triggers, identify the feelings, we're already beginning to break into this cycle because we're bringing conscious thinking to it, and then we can make new choices. And that's what Christine brought up in that very helpful diagram, again, with the trigger, the urge. We can go to that habitual thing that will help our feelings, or we can use a distraction, or we can actually learn to change that habit and replace it with a good habit. I'm not quite sure what's this. I don't want to go into that, it's too much. But, you know, we can either stare temptation in the face. I love that picture. Or we can, I'm just going to, will you give me 5 minutes of your lunch break? Do you mind? I'm negotiating with you. This is what you need to learn to do with people. Please give me 5 minutes of your lunch break, and I'll just do this very quickly. So if we think about stop before you act, the first step is to, I don't quite know how to, there we go. We can unlearn bad habits in, this is my little plug, in 3 to 8 weeks. It's really, we really can. We need to stop to think, to observe thoughts and feelings, to put off the old self, put on the new, and to plan new behaviors. Now, I think Chris is going to look at EGAN a bit later, and that will... That is a process model that helps us to start planning in new behaviors. Do you remember the SMART goals we talked about a few hundred years ago? So choosing, and remember Steve said small steps, small, doable, achievable, measurable steps that can change. And maybe that change, that first step is noticing triggers, journaling. What happened just before I started drinking? What happened just before I started gambling? What happened just before I went to the internet? What is it that triggered me? And that might be your first small step, journaling, noticing those triggers and the feelings that set the whole thing off, because that starts to give you control. And so we need to stop and think, what am I doing? And here are a few questions to ask. In that, again, Christine put up some really helpful questions, which you've got the printouts of. What triggered this? Why am I doing this? So how am I trying to moderate those bad feelings? What will the consequences be? You see, when we go into those habitual behaviors, which later make us feel guilty, depressed, and rob us. They rob us of peace of mind. They rob us of time. They rob us of emotional stability. They rob us of our walk with God. They rob us. And so we need to stop and think, what are the consequences going to be if I let this happen now again? And what do I really want? See, Paul says in Romans 7 that right deep inside, we want to pursue the righteousness of God. We want to get it right. We want to be able to break these behaviors. So that might be the first steps we take in thinking. Oops, I don't quite know how to move this on. So we need to stop observing triggers. These may be thoughts and feelings. We've just talked a little bit about that. And, oh gosh, God, please give me a brain. We must think biblically about who we are in Christ and what Jesus has done for us. That's the and I keep returning to this picture of this big of the great exchange, having this deeply embedded in our hearts that we are completely new people in Christ, accepted, the grace of God is available to us, we are overcomers, Jesus' life and power within us. Steve said this morning, you know, he was without sin. His life and power is at work within us to overcome the things that keep pulling the rug out from underneath our feet, that keep tripping us up, that keep casting us down. And we need to think biblically about who we are. And there's a list of things there which you'll find in the new, in the, and we turn to God for help rather than turning to our own resources. And these are just some of the things. If we link thoughts and feelings, we can share our pain and pray. We can forgive and resolve issues like Kat talked about. With anxiety, Philippians 4 tells us to pray all kinds of prayers, specific, non-specific, with thanksgiving. We can resolve issues of grief and loss. We can deal with guilt and condemnation. We can forget, confess our sins and forgive ourselves. We can find hope in God and new expectations. So it's about turning to God for the help that we need and then planning godly choices. And that's where, and in the booklet that I've written, I've included a number of appendices which hold a lot of information about how to connect thoughts and feelings, recognizing triggers, just as Christine gave us the useful distractions. Initially, it might start with a distraction when we notice the triggers, the impulse, the urge, we find a distraction. And there's, I've got about 6 or 7 appendices in that work that you can use with people to help them understand and break bad habits. And I just want to end with this one little thing. Can you stand up? And